The first set of smiles came at last year's high school graduations, and then there was a wait of a few months while the numbers were compiled. In January, we got the results. The class of 2019 had a four-year high school graduation rate in Oregon of 80%. That pleases a lot of people in a state where the graduation rates have lagged the rest of the country for a very long time. Let's get into the numbers and get some further perspective from Colt Gill, who is the director of the Oregon Department of Education. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So what does that 80% rate represent for Oregon in historical context?
You know, our reaching 80% is a pretty big milestone for us. Ever since we've used this four-year cohort graduation rate for the last 10 years, our rates have gone up each year, but it's been incremental. And so it's been a long road to reaching 80% for our students. It's a pretty significant gain for us, especially because this year's graduation rate was really achieved by seeing significant increases for our historically underserved student groups, all of whom saw significant increases that were larger than the statewide average. So that's the real story here, is how we went about getting here.
So we had 51,567 total four-year graduates. Why is it important to say four-year?
So this is a measure that really counts the number of students who start ninth grade and then tracks every single one of those students by the time they get to 12th grade. So it isn't just how many students at the end of 12th grade graduated, but it's how many who started ninth grade, made it all the way through high school, and completed on time. We are also, though, I just want to put a side note that we're also really proud of our students who are persistent and achieve this accomplishment at either 5 years or 6 years later with a diploma or a GED. Those students also deserve our applause, and those graduation rates have also increased this last year.
So what does that bring the total up to? I mean, if we're talking 80% for 4 years, what about the students who get something eventually?
Yeah, so our five-year, let me grab that for you just a minute, mm-hmm. wasn't quite. Our five-year completer rate is 86.3%.
Mm-hmm.
Our students are getting a diploma or GED within 5 years.
Okay, which is that adds another few percentage points on top of that. So this is Oregon moving upward. Has anything changed, Colt Gill, about the math to arrive at the figure, or is this purely more graduates?
No, this is purely more graduates. So we don't have any changes in this model for the last 6 years now, since the last time there was a change in it.
Mm-hmm. And what was that change?
So that was a change that included our modified diploma students who are graduating, students with disabilities with some significant needs and receive a few accommodations along the route. They still have all the same credit requirements, just a few other accommodations are made for them.
Okay.
And that was brought into it for the 2010-11 cohort, so several years back.
All right. Is that the one that produces the class of 2014 numbers by which you had the five-year comparison?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was the first class then that had the modified diplomas in there with the regular ones. 80% in four-year completion still puts Oregon behind some other states. Can you lay out some of the issues that are baked into Oregon that exert downward pressure on graduation rates?
Yeah. I can talk a little bit about our diploma requirements in Oregon. So one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that we compare graduation rates across our states, but each state individually sets its graduation requirements. So what we're comparing can look pretty different from state to state. In Oregon, we have pretty rigorous graduation requirements. We require 24 credits, which exceeds most states. I think Connecticut right now requires 25, and that's the only one that has more than us. 35 states require fewer credits. Three states leave it all up to local school districts, so they set their own standards. When you look at some of the states that are at the top of that comparison list, there's a few up there that require 13 credits, which is far fewer than Oregon students are required to complete and pass. In Oregon, we also still require students to demonstrate mastery in essential skills of reading, writing, and mathematics. So they have to, you know, score a certain level on an assessment or do a series of work samples to show their instructors that they have mastered those skills. And then we require some some readiness for what comes after high school. So we have some activities that students need to complete that require them to explore some careers through our career-related learning standards and do some activities and planning around what comes after high school.
Has there been any apples-to-apples comparisons that if Oregon used, say, I don't know, Nebraska's criteria, if the graduation rate would be higher still?
No, we haven't done that. We really feel like our rigorous standards are a benefit to our students, that they do prepare them for their next steps in life. And so we haven't really turned back and said, you know, what if we did something similar to another state that has a less rigorous set of standards for graduation?
There is a sense of danger there, I would think, about opening up that sort of side-by-side comparison.
Yeah.
Colt Gill is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of the Oregon Department of Education. We're talking about high school graduation rates, which the January news was the best it's ever been, that Oregon has reached a four-year graduation rate with the class of 2019 of 80%. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Questions, comments are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's come into some of the side numbers that you mentioned at the top here about some of the movement for groups that were traditionally considered underserved. Let's talk about who those groups are and what the progress has been.
Yeah, so let me talk about just a couple of them. One of them that I like to point out because it really demonstrates some of the implicit bias that we have or our education systems have. We tend to get very excited when students go to high school and they take advantage of classes in a foreign language, like Spanish or Mandarin or French or whatever it may be that high school has to offer. And when those students take 4 years of that foreign language, maybe even finish with an AP or an IB course and a college credit under their belt, we're pretty excited that they're on their way to bilingualism and that they're set up for success. But we don't often think about students who come here speaking another language and then learn English during their time in our schools. We tend to think of that as a deficit and something that needs to be overcome rather than getting excited about that student becoming bilingual over time and having that power of a bilingual brain. And so when we look at the graduation numbers for these kids, they really excite me. We have our students who have exited our English learner programs before they graduate or before high school. Those students graduated 4.3 percentage points higher than our statewide average. So these are children who came to Oregon speaking a language other than English, learned English before high school, and are graduating at greater rates than those students who started school in Oregon speaking English. So that's a really impressive number. Even students who are still learning English while in high school, we saw a 4.4 percentage point jump for them. And our students who are in migrant education programs, so students who move from community to community, oftentimes around agriculture work, those students also jumped by 4.4 percentage points and made it to 79.4% overall graduation rate, almost the same as the statewide average. So that's really impressive. And some of those numbers bear out in local communities in Southern Oregon as well.
I want to come back to the ones who you said get out of the English as a second language program before high school. You said that they were actually 4.3% higher than the statewide average?
Yes, yes.
So almost getting close to 84% anyway is where they are. Yep,
mm-hmm. Yep. A little bit over 84%. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. Yeah.
It is indeed. Okay, what are some of the other success stories you see within the numbers here for high school graduation?
Yeah, so we saw increases across the board for students who we consider historically underserved. So those related to language, we had some increases. We also had increases for our African-American students, our Latino and Hispanic students. When you look in the Southern Oregon area in particular, Medford School District had shown a large increase in their Hispanic and Latino student groups' four-year cohort graduation rate. So since the 13-14 school year that we referred back to, 28 percentage point gains in graduation rates for Latino students in Medford School District. Ashland and Klamath County School District both saw significant gains as well. And Governor Brown and I, wrote an op-ed in the Oregonian in late January and sort of lauding the great work of Eagle Point School District that have used some of their high school success dollars to hire graduation coaches in partnership with AllCare and the United Way, and bringing their overall graduation rate up to 89% in 2019. So that's a 16 percentage point increase since 2014. So really impressive gains by folks who are really honing in on the kind of programs that support students and students who have historically in Oregon been underserved. And those numbers are driving that overall number up to the 80%.
I'm glad you mentioned Eagle Point. I have that number in front of me, 89.15, in fact. So just to make sure they get the full credit for what they got there.
Thank you.
But as I looked around, rural versus urban, for example, I mean, some trends tend to go certain ways fairly consistently, and I was thinking that the rural schools might lag a bit from the urban ones. But you mentioned Klamath County, which is actually above the rate for the whole district.
The challenge for some of our more rural districts in Oregon, which are our most numerous districts in Oregon, we have 197 school districts in the state, and by far more than half of those are in rural small communities. And one of the challenges in looking at graduation rates is that we really need to look at trends over time, because when you have very small classes, each student makes up a pretty significant percentage of the class. And so you can see some swings for small districts in the percentage of students graduating from year to year. But if you look at a trend over time and the number of students graduating, that's when you can kind of see what's going on in that district. And we're seeing overall improvements for our small districts as well. They also tend to be in communities where, all the teachers in that community know nearly all of the students, and they can kind of keep track. And when something's not going right, they can, connect with the family and make a personal intervention to help support that child on their path to graduation.
That perhaps explains a situation like in Lost River in Klamath County, which I noticed had 100% graduation rate.
Yes. Yep. Very small class, but yeah, you're right. They did a great job.
Yeah, the class was 30-something like that. Yeah. We're talking again to Colt Gill, the director of the Oregon Department of Education, about the numbers that came out in January indicating that Oregon hit a high school graduation rate, four-year high school graduation rate of 80%, which is a record for the state. If you've got questions or comments for the superintendent, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what are some of the initiatives that have been that the groundwork was laid for in recent years that appear to be getting some results in improving these rates?
Yeah, let me talk about one. So in Oregon, one of the programs that has seemed to really make a difference for our students is CTE, so Career Technical Education. And Oregon's made some significant investments in career technical education over the past few years. We have what we call CTE revitalization grants, which are allowing districts to competitively apply for state dollars to upgrade their career technical programs. So they might be adding computer science or medical occupations kinds of courses where they need specialized equipment and they can purchase it with those dollars. The state's voters also passed Measure 98, which had one of the three key areas of focus was career technical education. And students this last year taking a career technical education course graduated at 88.9%. And the students who were in a full program of study, so they finished two or more credits in CTE, graduated at 93.5%. So we really saw some gains for our students participating in those programs. Now, these are the kinds of programs in high school that tend to be highly engaging for students. They're oftentimes very hands-on in terms of the students are experiencing what real-world work would look like in these career technical areas. And it's not something that the student experienced before. So by the time our kids get to high school, they've had 9 years of English, 9 years of math, 9 years of social studies, science, and on. And this is an area where they come into. They oftentimes don't have a lot of background, if it's welding or some kind of auto technician kinds of courses. That's not where their background is, so they're completely reliant on this teacher and develop a pretty tight and close relationship because it's a very new experience for them. And it really hooks them in, keeps them coming to school every day, and gives them a path possibly for their future and really impacts their overall outcomes as well in terms of graduation.
So you mentioned things like welding and auto repair. I mean, how technical in the technical sense of today's world does this get? I mean, do we have people learning computer skills, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we have a large increase in the past 3 years in our computer science programs, and medical occupations is another one. We see quite a bit of programming in the arts that include graphic arts that is really tied to commercial art activity that you would do if you were working in advertising or marketing or something like that as well.
Okay, so a bunch of stuff in there. And how much further development do the CTE programs still have within them? I mean, we don't have everything already rolled out that is possible, do we?
We definitely don't have everything in every school district in Oregon, and that's really critical. So a couple of things have happened recently to even add to that investment that started 2 or 3 years ago in our state. One is that the high school success program that was initially brought to us through Measure 98 is now fully funded for the first time just beginning this school year and will continue into the next school year. And that was done through the Student Success Act that the legislature and governor passed this last session in 2019. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's happened that's really a boon for our smaller school districts where CTE can be a real challenge in a couple of different ways, was that the CTE revitalization grants were the legislature changed the emphasis for those and made the emphasis on our smallest school districts so that they could competitively get at some of these dollars, and so could our tribal communities. So all the CTE revitalization grants to, rebuild the labs or the workspaces for these courses to be held in are now aimed at our smallest school districts so that they can get caught up with what's offered in some of our larger school districts.
Okay, level the field a bit. I have some more questions about the Student Success Act, but I want to take a call in here. David in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Oregon Department of Education Director Colt Gill.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Dr. Gill, could you please explain how the rates that we're talking about can possibly hide attrition rates? And what are the dropout statistics on an annual basis throughout the district? I'm calling from Medford.
All right. Thank you for that, David. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, David. So let me talk first about attrition rates. So we actually did a study in Oregon a few years ago to compare how we feed the numbers into the calculation. So that's another place where states can differ from state to state. Every state uses the same calculation for the four-year cohort rate, but how they fill that formula with numbers, count students basically, does differ. So our standard of evidence for removing students from a cohort that they start in ninth grade is really high in comparison to other states. In Oregon, a student who stops attending is assumed to be a dropout or a non-completer. That's the terminology that's used. And that counts against the student's or the school's graduation rate. The only way that they move out of being assumed to be a dropout or a non-completer is if there is documentation that shows that that student has transferred to a new high school in Oregon or elsewhere, or homeschool, or has moved out of the country, out of the United States. And so if there's any student where there's a question where we don't actually have documentation of where they are and what they're doing, then they, in Oregon, are assumed to be a non-completer and reduces the cohort graduation rate. That is not true in every state. So in some states, they assume that they've gone to another school unless there's proof that they have dropped out of school and are out on their own. So I feel pretty confident that our numbers are strong and reliable in that way. I will touch, so you asked about, David, I think also asked about the dropout rate.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually have those numbers in front of me this morning, but our dropout rate has also is at a new low. It's not the converse of the cohort graduation rate, because the dropout rate only calculates 12th grade. Mm-hmm. So it looks at numbers of students who dropped out during 12th grade. And okay. I don't know, Jeffrey.
So it wouldn't be 20. No, I don't. I don't. But it's not 20% is what you're saying, because
no, it's close to 3%. But okay. I don't have the number right in front of me.
Okay, appreciate that. So before we go, Colt Gill, I want to ask a little further about the Student Success Act you referenced, passed by the legislature last year to bring some additional money into to the state schools through a new corporate tax. That has not actually found its way into to the school systems yet. Is that right?
The Student Success Act actually comprises 28 different programs. A couple of them are in our schools right now. The primary one is that High School Success Fund, mm-hmm. which is the funds measure 98. So that is going this year. But you're right. For the most part, the dollars and the student investment account dollars, where you've heard about our districts going out and meeting with community and students and families to really understand what the needs are and how to best use those dollars, those all come in beginning next school year.
All right, so a lot
developing
of
their plans right now.
Yeah. So a lot of individualized stuff, district by district, about how they will spend the additional the cash.
Yes.
All right. So, but this does not make by any means make Oregon schools recession proof. I would think.
No, I don't think that it does that. I think that there's now two funds. So we have the state school fund that addresses kind of the floor, the base that's needed to keep our schools open. That still definitely is. Hit by the economy. When the economy is up, it's good. And when the economy is down, our schools lose staff, lose programs. And then now we have this special student success fund for these additional programs.
Okay. So not to think of it in terms of just the basic funding for schools differently.
Right, yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right. But a lot of happy faces, I would think, around the Department of Education these days.
Yes, and I think among our students and families and all educators across Oregon have worked really hard to make this happen.
All right, the high school graduation rate, 4-year high school graduation rate with the class of 2019 hitting 80% in Oregon for the first time. Colt Gill is the director of the Department of Education. Thank you for spending some time with us today to explain what's behind the numbers.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.